All right.
Okay. I am going to call this meeting to order. If we could all please stand and face the flag for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we now have a public comment period for comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You'll be afforded the opportunity to speak on the individual public hearing items at the time they're presented. If you wish to speak in the council, speak to the council about items within its jurisdiction, but not appearing on this agenda. You must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium the microphone stands podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. And if any member of the council wants to extend the length of a presentation, that can be done by either me as chairperson or the council by majority vote. So do we have anybody that wishes to speak about items on this agenda? No? Okay, thank you. Approval of the agenda for today, June 26, 2024, and both combine or delete any items for possible action. And I think we should combine the first and second planning and zoning items. And I guess we're postponing the 3, 4, and 5 agenda items.
Right, 3, 4, and 5 have been held until next
month. Held until next month, okay. So besides that, anybody else have anything else for this agenda? No? Yeah, okay. So,
it's hard to understand. Yeah, okay. You know,
that's better.
If I see like this, is this better? Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay, well, we're just going, all we're doing is combining the first two agenda items and postponing the 3, 4, and 5 until next month. So, because the first two agenda items are related, and there's no point going through them one after the other. And 3, 4, and 5, I mean, the first two may be kind of a long thing, so we'll push them until next month by request to some extent. Anybody approve of the agenda with the changes?
I'll put forth the motion to approve the agenda.
Okay, and I'll second. All in favor. Informational items. Right now we receive a report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding current water levels, status of the Blue Diamond water system, and other related concerns for discussion over.
Good evening, everyone here. Okay, all right. Jordan Bunker with the Las Vegas Water District. Very brief update for you this evening. The wells were measured yesterday. The north well was measured at 10.91 feet below land surface. The south well came in at 10.67 feet below land surface. That's down just ever so slightly from where we were last month, which is kind of to be expected because of the heat and the lack of precipitation, but they remain about 8 feet higher than they were this time last year. That's it for the well update. The system remains in stable condition, but there are no major leaks or breaks. That concludes my report.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Jordan?
Thank you.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Now we receive a report from Metro regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other policing concerns. for discussion only.
Do you want to stay up for a minute?
Probably should, it's pretty, you can, if you will.
Hello, I'm Officer Cam Boffley, Metro Police Department. We've just been doing heavy enforcement for illegal fireworks. If you're going to a different county to buy fireworks, you probably can't shoot them off here. But if you go to the stands in town, those are legal. So we have inside a ton of people for transporting fireworks from my county. Any questions for me? Okay.
Okay, receive a report from DLM regarding current and upcoming projects, updates on the Legacy Bike Trail, information about the Red Rock National Conservancy area, or other updates about public grounds. Nobody's here from DLM, okay. Okay, so we'll skip that. And report from DLM, I fortunately didn't hear from that either.
No, they're here.
Yeah, they're right there.
Okay. So receive a report from DLM law enforcement about recent events in the area and public lands, police concerns for discussion.
Thank you, Brian. Sure. Hello, my name is James Boyle. I'm a supervisor of the DLM law enforcement program. Apologies for Red Rock Field Office. I know they normally tend to get other commitments tonight. So if you have any questions regarding the other items, reach out to the Red Rock Field Office for those. As far as BLM law enforcement activity, we've seen a decrease in activity, which all of you who live in the area are probably familiar. Once it gets hot out here, people stop coming out here. For the most part, there's still some folks who like to hike in the heat. So if you're one of those folks, please bring plenty of water and then double that, because it's sure as hot, and we've had a few search and rescues where people do not have enough water. The only other thing to share is Southern Nevada, all federal public lands are currently under fire restrictions right now. Those fire restrictions prohibit use of any sort of fire outside of a designated campfire ring on federal lands. So the only designated rings are going to be concrete rings that either the Bureau of Land Management or the U.S. Forest Service has installed. So if someone builds a little rock campfire ring, unfortunately those aren't allowed in the summertime just because of the high fire danger. We also prohibit during this time frame, actually year-round on federal lands, any use of fireworks or possession of fireworks is illegal, also for that same fire danger reason. The use of tannerite when target shooting is prohibited, and the use of steel core ammunition is prohibited on federal land when target shooting in a legal location. As some of you are aware, we did have a wildland fire just south of State Route 160. It looks like that most likely was caused by illegal target shooting. They were target shooting within Red Rock Canyon, and that whole national conservation area is close entirely to target shooting. So if you do choose to target shoot on your public lands, do so in an area where it is approved. You can go to our website, and we do have all the maps that show that on our website. And if you also choose to target shoot in a legal location, please bring, we recommend like a couple gallons of water and a shovel in case something happens. Unfortunately, when the vegetation is so dry, that's what sparks fires. We're getting 1 to 2 small fires a week from target shooting. So that's a big push on the Bureau of Management. And so if you have any other questions related to public safety and public lands, I'll be around in the back afterwards, or I can answer your question right now.
Is there going to be an illegal fire?
Could you state the name of the...
Calling up at 17 Matarongo. If we see an illegal campfire or illegal shooting, what should we do?
Okay, so her question was, if you see illegal campfires or illegal target shooting, what do you do? Contact our office. We have a 24-hour dispatch center. The phone number I can give you if you're ready to write it down. And anyone else who needs it afterwards, I can provide it again. This number is 702-293-8998. And if you can get a good location and maybe a vehicle description associated, we would appreciate that. Alright, any other questions? Alright, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and now we receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services making.
Okay, I've never been accused of being quiet.
I knew we were going to have a whole agenda tonight, so I don't have anything specific to report on. But if you guys have questions for me, I'm here to answer those. If there's anything you want to know right now.
Megan?
Yes?
Quick question. I got something from the library today. Thank you, Kate, by the way. And it said on July 2nd, from 6:15 to 7:15, there's going to be a neighborhood meeting for the RV park on the corner of 159 and 160.
Right. So next week, you probably have gotten postcards about two different neighborhood meetings. The first one on the 1st, on Monday evening. And I, Bob, do you know what time that meeting is?
6 to 7:30.
Is it going to be here?
Yes.
6 to 7:30, there is a neighborhood meeting for the Gypsum Resources Project. And then on Tuesday, at 6:15.
It said 6:15 to 7:15, which seemed a little weird.
It is a little odd, but hey, that's okay. 6:15 to 7:15 is a neighborhood meeting for the RV park. They have a new design that they're coming through with. So next month they will be here. They were supposed to be on the agenda tonight for an extension of time for their current entitlements. But they are also coming through with a new design, and they have to do a neighborhood meeting for that. So that'll be on Tuesday at the library at 6:15.
Thank you, Megan. Okay, so we're on our planning and zoning items, and we're going to be combining one and two. Let me read them. One is PA-24-700013, Gypsum Resources LLC, plan amendments on approximately 2,400 acres to redesignate the existing land use categories from open land and residential rural to major projects. Generally located on the north side of State Highway 159, approximately 1.5 miles west of the intersection of State Highway 160.
And, well, maybe not.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get
word. I know.
Generally located on the north side of State Highway 159, approximately 1.5 miles west of the intersection of State Highway 160, Blue Diamond Road, and State Highway 159, Linden Red Rock, for possible action. And then the second item is ZC-24-0294- Gypsum Resources LLC, zone change on approximately 2,500 acres to one reclassified the RU, Rural Open Land Zone, to the R1, Single Family Residential Zone, the R2, Medium Density Residential Zone, and the UV, Urban Village Mixed Use Zone, and two, establish a PC, Planned Community Overlay District, generally located on the north side of State Highway 159, approximately 1.5 miles west of the intersection of State Highway 160, Blue Diamond Road, and State Highway 159 in Red Rock, description on file for possible action. So we have somebody here representing the Gypsum Resources.
So he can have the mic.
Mr. Romano, can you tell us what that Monday meeting is going to be?
Not yeah, I was going to do my presentation. Yes.
And then the other thing, just before you get started, it says that the plan amendment number one is going to be heard as a point extension of the day before, and then 7:30, 20:30.
And I was going to explain it all. So is it easier for me to stand here?
Go ahead, I just gave you all the freedom.
All right. For the record, good evening. My name is Bob Bronauer, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive. I'm here representing Gypsum Resources on both of these matters, item one and item number two. Usually they start the presentation by giving you an orientation where the property is, but as I'm standing here tonight, I'm pretty sure everybody knows where the Gypsum property is. It's been in discussion for many, many years. On the board here, and I'll get into the plan amendment, is the property. The
property consists of about 2,010 acres of property that we are coming in with a master plan community. What I'd like to do first is give you a little bit of a background, some context of why I'm standing here for item number one and item number two and what's going on in the whole process. As you heard and read through the media, and if you've been at the Clark County Commission hearing last week, there's been an ongoing litigation going on between Clark County and Gibson Resources. As part of that litigation, there's a settlement agreement that is in place. It was approved last Tuesday by the County Commission by unanimous approval. As part of that approval, there are certain conditions or strings, so to speak, that needs to be tied up here in order to finalize and end that litigation. So I'm standing here today to talk about the plan amendment and the zone change. But before I start talking about that, a little bit more background is, where did this all begin? So in 2011, as you go through a major project, there was a concept plan that gave you a general idea in this area, the 2,010 acres that you see here, of a general concept plan of putting together what is known as a master plan community. A master plan community typically entails coming in with one cohesive development with a mixture of uses that are anywhere from commercial uses, residential uses, recreational uses, public facilities, and open spaces and trails. So that plan was approved in 2011. So the next county you have come through what is known as a public facility needs and assessment plan along with a specific plan. That plan was introduced years later and never went forward. As part of the litigation settlement, that is a requirement to have those two plans approved. Last Tuesday at the County Commission, the county commissioners approved the applications for the public facility needs and assessment and also for the specific plan. So right now we've gone through those three steps. So we have a concept plan, we have the PFNA approval, and we have a specific plan approval. The PFNA, just for giving you a little bit of background on that, that is for the deficit analysis on the public facilities needs and assessment. That gives you a review of schools, police, fire, parks, etc., of what is needed to help service that area. So that plan was approved on Tuesday. The specific plan gets a little more detailed with the zoning and the land plan, and that's why I'm here today. So as part of that process, also last week was a development agreement that is a part of this master plan community. The development agreement was introduced last Tuesday. It's scheduled for next Wednesday, July 3rd, to be approved or to have a public hearing on, and we will discuss the development agreement at that point in time. With respect to, there was another application last Tuesday that was approved, which is the waiver of condition, that the initial condition required the developer to come in and they had to get BLM approval to get access to Highway 160 prior to getting the approval for the specific plan and the PMA plan. That was also approved. So as I'm standing here tonight, the first application that you are seeing is what is highlighted or that's marked out here in the yellow areas. That is the master plan community of about 2,010 acres. We are changing that into a master project, okay? That is an area which is no different than any other master plan if you're familiar down in an urban area in the county, such as Southern Highlands, Mountains Edge, Rhodes Ranch, other county master plan communities come in with a designation for a master plan, which would be to put the property in a planned community. So that's what you have here with the master plan amendment, okay? As one of the town board members has mentioned, is so this application, whatever gets recommended tonight, goes to the Planning Commission on Tuesday night, next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, okay? I was just looking at the agenda. I think it's the last item on the agenda. I think there are 30 items, and I think this might be item number 30. So there will be a public hearing at the Planning Commission to hear this item for the plan amendment, which then will subsequently be heard on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock at the County Commission. And again, with respect to the plan, it's just generally we're putting the property, the 2,010 acres, in a master plan community called Major Projects. So that's application number one. The second application that we have on your agenda is the zone change application. So the zone change application, I'll go through it here, is what we have is, as you see here, we're putting this in a overlay district that's called a planned community overlay district. Similar process that we've done in other master plan communities down in the urban area of Clark County that you have in this area here that was master plan major projects. Now it's going to have a zoning classification of an overlay district for planned community. Then along with the zone change on item number two, it breaks this up into three categories. And I'll go through these categories as far as the zoning categories that we are seeking here. So the way this the property has always been planned through a concept plan, the PFNA, and the specific plan, it always has discussed about having three types of areas. You have the core zone, which is like the middle and the heart of the property here that you can probably see as I'm showing in the purple. Then you have what they call the general zone, which is a less intense area, which would be this color, that area. And then the outer edge is called the edge area. And the edge area is to have the least intense type of residential uses as it blends into the natural environment that's surrounded by it. So the zone changes that are before you, what we're asking for, in the purple area is a designation known as urban village. Urban village is known as your more intense type of commercial or your more intense residential. So that's where you have most of the activities. You also have some community services in this area, some public facilities in this area along with parks. But that is the intent, is that's the core area of the development that is being proposed here. In that area, you see the purple. So that's the UB section. That's for, as I mentioned, from single family residential all the way up to commercial uses in that district, in that zoning district. The second thing that we call that Village 1. I think you might see that in the staff report. So Village 1 is our core urban village. Next, which is common sense here, is your Village 2 that you see surrounding in this area and surrounding the purple, which we call is a general core where you have single family residential. The R2 zoning district allows residential zoning up to the R2 zoning code, which allows single family homes and attached homes in that area. So what you have is you're going from the core to the general. The general, you're going to have less intense uses as we spread out as we go further away from the core. The other zoning district is the R1 that surrounds the outer edge of the property. What that is you have your RU, RE, and up to R1 zonings in that area with respect to the outer edge. So, and that there is, again, is to have the least intense uses from the core and lesser intense from the general, so on and so as you go on the zoning districts that are here. So this application will go straight to the Board of County Commissioners on Wednesday morning, next on July 3rd at 9 o'clock. That will be heard along with the development agreement and the plan amendment. The reason why this application is not going to the Planning Commission is because it's not required to go to the Planning Commission. It's just going to go right to the Board of County Commissioners. So your question is why does the first item of plan go to the Planning Commission? And that's because by state law, the Planning Commission has to hear and approve a master plan amendment, and then that recommendation goes up to the County Commission. So that is why we're making a pit stop there on Tuesday night before we get to the hearings on Wednesday. And then the last point that I do want to make, because most of you probably have already received a neighborhood card or neighborhood meeting that's going to be here next Monday. On July 1st on Monday, we have a set time. Set time is going to be from, I believe it's 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. That's a cutoff time. It is required by state law for us to have a neighborhood meeting. We are having a neighborhood meeting essentially when it's so you know in advance. It's to talk about what I'm talking about tonight, the plan amendment and the zone change. Okay? And I'm sure there'll be some other questions and so on in there. So I wanted in this presentation, because it's somewhat unique here, is to give you the whole process so I can explain to everybody so you can understand why certain applications are set and why they are scheduled. And again, I've already started and giving you the background with respect to there's an open litigation going on. It's part of the reason why I'm standing up here and doing this presentation today is to ensure that there are certain requirements in that settlement agreement, although it's approved, nothing's finalized or wrapped up until we get through this whole process that's here. So that's respectfully why we're here in item number one and number two tonight. And that being said, I think I said enough, and I can answer questions, listen to your comments, and come back and do whatever the board pleases.
I got a question for you. My name is John Hospital, R-O-S-C-O-E. You started in 2011. How did they get past it ahead?
Oh, could you come up to the microphone, please?
How come they're going from 2011 to 2024, and they passed the stuff on Tuesday, which I never got any notice for anything, and I still don't have a notice for July 1st, until just now from you. See, a lot of these people don't get it. We don't want it. Well, I'll tell you right now, there's 90% of us that don't want it up there. We're trying to stop it. And the one that's on Wednesday, we're trying to stop that too. And they, I don't know where they keep getting all the permits, so that you guys, you want to extend it.
Money talks.
Yeah, money talks, you're right, God bless you.
Yeah.
But, you know, you guys got to figure out what the hell you guys are doing. You guys are the ones that are supposed to be backing us up. What the hell? Why are you guys letting them get away with this stuff?
We're not letting them get away with anything.
We're just like you.
The council here is makes the Armonians a recommendation. We're not legislators here or anything else.
Yeah, but it has to go through us first here. We pass it, and then the county commissioners and the planning commissioners and all that, they're not doing their jobs. I went to one meeting a little bit ago, and I couldn't believe what was going on. What? And I've been doing buildings since late 60s, early 70s, and I've never seen this shit. Never seen the stuff that's going on today with the county commissioners. We need to vote all of them out and get somebody in that knows what they're going to do and not put their money in the pocket. And I said that.
Can I
answer quickly? I think part of the answer for your question is that it lent the time for the process. Respectfully, it's a long time. Yes, 2011 when everything started. However, there were multiple applications that I didn't get into since 2011 to follow through. Entitlement applications for waiver development standards, for the specific plan, for the PMNA. There was a lot of long litigation that's currently going on. This property's been litigated multiple times over the years. So that's why you have a long time in the process of where we are today.
Mr. Brown, can you also add that the cards go out to like 1,500?
And then also from a notification standpoint, the Clark County, they have a process in place that the county mails out all those notices. So within that requirements, state requirement of radius, that is sent out to all the property owners within that area radius. They were the media notices were sent out by us. We got the information from the Clark County, and then we mailed those out last Thursday.
Stephanie, it's probably anywhere between 500 to 1,500 feet, Megan? Would that be somewhere in there usually?
Right. I don't know what the radius is on that one, but it only goes out to a certain extent. So some people in the room may get it, and some may not. It's like a big circle around there.
I got mine.
I have some very specific questions. I read all the documents. So one of the things that's confounding is that in the agreement, they referenced an approval of the 2019 PFNA and the 2019 specific plan, and based on the 2011 cluster plan, right? So one of the things that's in there that is not consistent is that, and I asked this at the county meeting, the numbers are all different, right, for all the uses. So we were told by Bob Morhola that it's based on the PFNA, okay, which is for 3518 homes. But when I asked about how much commercial there's going to be, they said it's based on the 2011 concept plan. The 2011 concept plan is based on 5,000 homes. So what's happening is we're not scaling the commercial to the PFNA. If the PFNA number is the one that we're approving, then we should be scaling the commercial to the PFNA also. Instead of having 122 commercial units, it should be 90. So that's one of my things, and I think it's a conflict. If anyone would look back through these documents, no one would know what the answer is.
I can answer that fairly quickly. So in the, first of all, congratulations for reading about 3,000 pages.
Right.
That's a lot. And especially doing it in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I understand that. So development agreement is what's going to be the controlling document. In that controlling document, and I know this because I've been waiting to answer this question, it's an exhibit L. We have it's a chart that shows you the breakdown of the residential. So there's a cap on 3,500 units. And then in there, it's roughly 8% to be residential, and then there's a commercial category of how much is going to be commercial in there. And I want to say it's about 5-7% of commercial is being proposed, and the rest is open space and public facilities and so on. So in the exhibit and the development agreement, that is going to be the controlling document. Those are the final numbers. So we did make the changes from the specific plan and the PFNA into the development agreement. We make those revisions based on the settlement agreement that's 3,500 units.
So how many commercial will that represent?
5% of the budget is 75. 5% We have about 60 plus acres, and I got to do the quick addition there, but it's about 60, 65 acres in there.
So, and I can't do the math on that, I'm just saying that what I'm sensing is that you're actually going back to something that's scaled on a larger number of homes, not on the actual 3,500. And if the PFNA was approved, if that's the number that's being approved for housing, then why is the commercial being increased? That doesn't seem appropriate. If we are saying that we're approving on the PFNA, then aren't we approving also on the PFNA the number of commercial?
Yeah, you'll have a specific percentage of commercial, and that's based off of a marketing studies that is done to determine with respect to the density to the commercial that would be proposed up in this plan community.
Okay, pretty sure we're getting hosed, but in the 2019, when the 2019 PFNA was presented, it was about 16 conditions that were agreed upon between the developer and the county commissioner at conditions of approval. I hear people telling me that yes, they're in there, but I don't see them in writing anywhere. For one, you agreed to not have industrial.
Yes.
I don't see that in
there. Yeah, so I think you got that mixed up. And there's a lot of documents.
Yes.
And it's very confusing. So if you go back to the conceptual plan in 2011,
yes,
there's a document that county does with final action. We call it NOFA,
yes,
Notice of Final Action.
Yes.
Look at the Notice of Final Action. Actually, I think I have a copy in the back. I personally gave it to you after the meeting. The Notice of Final Action has those conditions. So as part of those conditions, those are the conditions that we have to comply with. Because initially in 2011, there was a commercial tours for like a hotel casino. So that was removed. Industrial development was removed. So there are specific conditions in there that are part of those conditions in the record. And if you look in the back of them from Tuesday's agenda, you look at the waiver development application, you should see those conditions in there, because those are the conditions that have been carrying on since the approval of the concept plan that we have. So it's not in the specific plan. It wasn't approved in 2019. It's just now approved. But the concept plan and all those conditions are to carry over through the development agreement, because that is an exhibit to the development agreement, and those are the conditions that comply.
Can that be incorporated into a document rather than just referencing back?
I think it's incorporated in the document. It may be one of the exhibits if you mention it. Again, I'd have to take a look at the DA, but the conceptual plan, specific plan, DMA, all those documents we wanted incorporated into the development agreement, and then the development agreement is a controlled document. That's how it's set up.
So there's, in the generalized commercial business and design, and we talked about this previously too, there's warehousing, data processing centers, incubator businesses, institutes, post-secondary education, and when we spoke about this in the past, what you're doing is, okay, there's commercial, that's to keep people up on the hill and provide services, so there aren't extra traffic on Highway 159. So if you put a university up on top of the hill, you're just driving people up. Their sole purpose is to go up the hill. So it's in contrast to what we had originally spoken about the commercial being something that would reduce trips on 159. With these auxiliary building businesses, you're actually creating traffic.
Yeah, the intent is not to have industrial warehousing that you see down here in the valley. Those were for, so they're more of like a more commercial, very light intent of a use. It's not for industrial warehousing.
Well, what about the secondary education and these things that drive traffic up on top of the hill?
I mean, currently today there's nothing planned, but there's an education facility planned for elementary school in conjunction with Clark County.
Under the application says for 24 acres for a plan for the zoning, but you're actually talking about 2100. So what's the inconsistency, and are you just adding an extra 300 in there so that everything is zone change?
I'm glad we brought that up. So one of the things I forgot in the initial presentation, right, on their notice it says 2,400 acres. We made the correction was made at the County Commission on Tuesday that it's 2,010 acres. And whatever happens here tonight in the representations, it's 2,010 acres. And I thought I saw it somewhere through the venue documents. So for clarification, it was noticed at 2,400, but it was corrected at 2,010 acres. That's the legal acreage that we're actually moving forward.
What kind of assurance do we have that this just isn't phase one?
You have what is tied to the master plan and to the zoning application is a development agreement that caps your density and gives you the parameters of what you can and cannot develop there.
And what about, would there be a future application for more phase two, more homes?
If there's ever a future in any applications, you can always amend them. You can always request an amendment. Those things can happen, but as of right now, what the development agreement says is if and when it gets adopted, that is the law for this development that they got to comply with.
Oh, Pauline, we're way past the minutes, aren't you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you have a lot more stuff on
there? No, I had one more thing. What was it? What happened with the 429 homes that was approved for the subdivision? Is that just included in this?
That is a separate entitlement that we have today on the property. That would be part of this master plan community, is that the 400 units are part of the 2,000 acres.
So it's not 3,500 plus 429?
No, ma'am.
Okay,
thank you. Okay, thank you. By the way, you were bringing up the issue about time to town being 159 versus 160. Did I mishear that? I thought you were concerned about the highway usage and how 159 would be used versus 160. Oh, okay. Never mind then. Okay. Can we have a bank payment? Can we have the next person, please? Sir, your name and address. Please tell me your last name.
Eric Paulson, KLD, UNSCN, 6 Minor Water.
Don't get too far off.
Could you speak over the
right? Just about zoning change. I think everybody's concerned just with that zoning change, things that come with it. Like you said, the NOFA has all the documented restrictions, is that correct? That's my only do this. Those restrictions are part of what was approved on 4/17/19, is that correct? The master or the major project plan, MP 4313, is that right?
I don't know what they are mentioning.
Cause I'm just looking through the development agreement, and the language is extremely vague. It just says, and then you develop commercial in accordance with what was allowed in the 2011 agreement, but it doesn't say which agreement. This agreement is different.
Yeah, 2011 is a conceptual plan that was incorporated into the development agreement.
So where do we find those hard numbers, I guess, is what I'm getting at? Because it's not in here.
Yeah, what you'll have is numbers being the development agreement in one of the exhibits that lays out the amount of commercial versus the amount of residential open space and so on.
But in nowhere, it doesn't say anywhere in here that there's no industrial or there's no commercial tourism.
There is a notice of final action from 2011. And I'll take a look at it and
leave
that
to
remove the industrial.
This is, we have that up here.
Okay, and that's in the exhibits in the end.
Yeah, that's your note.
Yeah, it is removing industrial.
It's removing the industrial and the tourism.
Two pages of bullet points. Yeah.
Let me get to the question. Yeah. Just want to make sure that if we don't change those through, that it's not back to where it was. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anybody else with questions for Mr. Barrow?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, just one question.
I do.
I just have a point of procedure, a question. So our vote on this panel, if it is a no, does it kill this project? Or is it a recommendation? Because I think there's some confusion on what we're doing here tonight.
Okay, so this is just like any other application that comes to you routinely. Sorry, okay. This is just like any other application. It's a big one, but it's just like any, just like the waiver we had last month. It is going through the same process. So you guys will vote, and your recommendation will go ahead to the Planning Commission and the Board of County Commissioners, just like it always does. So the Planning Commission and the Board, they get input from staff, they get input from you guys, and then they get input from when the presentation is made, and then they are the final vote.
Not us.
No, you are not the final vote, as much as I know you would love to be. You are not. You are a recommending body only.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Is that my timer?
Yeah.
I got a short.
Okay, so if there's nobody else with questions for Mr. Brower, I guess we will close the public comment portion of this with these, for these items that have combined. Does the council have any questions or comments?
I got a couple questions for you. I got
the mic.
Do you want this microphone? I got this off the set right now. So this was, I think, from Trent Billings. So there were a couple things that they were saying. That it violates the Clark County Title 30 guidelines and correspond with the character and physical limitations of the land. We're going to read a couple of them. So,
how can you mind?
Okay. And violate the Clark County Title 30 guideline to encourage the most appropriate use of land throughout the county. Violate the Clark County Title 30 guideline to protect existing neighborhoods and communities, including the protection of rural neighborhoods. Violate the Clark County Title 30 guideline to otherwise further the general prosperity, health, safety, and welfare of the community. Violate the 2014 Clark County Comprehensive Master Plan provision that proposed developments be compatible with adjacent land uses and violate the 2014 Clark County Comprehensive Master Plan provision that discourages urban sprawl, last but not least, encourages new development to be around existing or future transportation corridors. So my question is, since all those are Clark County documents, and most of them have applied over the course of time, how is this project currently where it's at this point in time with all this that's done? Thank you.
Oh. PTSD just.
I answered it. So what has happened is you go through this process, the applicant, the property owner, sits down with Clark County staff, and this is a long process, and it starts at the conceptual plan. So there's a lot of work that's done with the consultants in Clark County. There's studies that are done, and once when that gets approved, what is known as, I already told you, the PFNA, that's already approved. So the PFNA, the applicant slash property owner, their consultants have gone out to the various agencies from fire and police and schools and worked with Parks and Rec to go through and do all the analysis. There's also, I believe in there, a part of the traffic study that was done. So there's all these documents that are being done in studies. And then you have the specific plan. All those have been reviewed and now officially approved as of last Tuesday. So that takes us to the next step here, which is the plan amendment and the zone change. So they have, although we may respectfully be in disagreement of what the end result is, the bottom line is the studies that have been done over the years.
So I've been on this board for a long time, and I was myself and Maxine, we were represented this board at the meetings back in 2010. John Hyatt was there. People may not recognize John Hyatt, but he's a very responsible community member from Lincoln Enterprise. But there was so much negativity about the project at those meetings. Every time there was a meeting here, either at the library, I mean, you could, if there were three people who were for it, I mean, even listening at the BCC meeting, there was the one gentleman who was for it, and it seemed like everybody else was against it or whatever. But the negativity has been there, and yet the project keeps plodding along. And that's the part that I don't get. And I will say, in the beginning, I will admit this, the vote was 4-1 against the project. I was the one who voted for it. I thought a person had a legitimate right to, you know, develop their property. Over time, when you start to hear all the negativity from people that live here, people that spoke at meetings, at the BCC meetings, and they give their address, and they're from Henderson, they're from all other places, they're not just from Red Rock, they're not just from Blue Diamond. So I mean, there is so much negativity, and I just don't understand. I go out myself.
Thank you, Brian. Any other council members wish to comment?
Greg Bailey, 68 Lawson. Do you have to do that?
No, I don't think so.
I believe that there's a right to develop a piece of land. I get that. That's Vegas. That's Southern Nevada. Southern Nevada is, I mean, it's a poster child for development. You can be good in that. I've seen Red Rock inundated and changed, and I don't like it. But I'm an old man now, getting, well, oldish.
You are old.
I am old.
No,
and, you know, and it's, you know, get off my lawn. It's all of that. It goes into my thoughts. But there is the valley that needs housing, no doubt. People need to live somewhere. And then there is our very few precious resources, Red Rock, Valley of Fire, Lake Mead, the McCullough Chain. There's just not a lot of them, especially within a certain distance. Your point, I feel like people come into Blue Diamond and they think they own the place. They actually have some sense of ownership of this town just because they mountain bike from here. And I'm good with that. I get it. I was the same way. I would draw my mountain bike here and go, and this was my town, you know, so I had an opinion. My biggest concern, other than developing that piece of property, is I don't believe that they've been good neighbors. I don't like the trucks. I don't like that road. I don't like the use of 159. I feel like once this development starts, it's Katie bar the door, and we're just going to get all kinds of construction, and it's just going to be messy. It is going to be messy because development is messy. So my concern is moving forward is I don't know what the county is going to do. I'm assuming the county is going to move forward, regardless whether we want to or not. But I just feel like we need to protect our interests as much as we possibly can. And in my mind, I don't want to see rooftops. I don't want to see trucks. I don't want to have nails on the road. I just don't want to deal with being a neighbor that is developing a pretty large development. So that's where we stand.
That's why we bought out here. It's a Red Rock overlay. We weren't supposed to build on the Red Rock overlay.
I think that this land is subject to an exclusion from the Red Rock overlay.
I think it's outside of the overlay.
Yeah, this is in the exception area. There was 5,000 plus acres that was cut out from a settlement from 2009-2010. So this is in the accepted area that's outside the conservation.
Because of the mine.
It was from the 2010 settlement they did on the first lawsuit when they settled with Jim.
They cut it out.
That they removed it. Yeah, so everybody heard that. It was removed via that settlement agreement as long as they did a major project. If they didn't do a major project, technically it should have gone back into the overlay. And I agree with Greg here. It is it's tough to be on this board today because you see a whole community that is my community, which is an amazing community. And I know we don't want to see this. And I feel like we've gotten to a point where, I don't want to say our hands are being forced, but I feel like some of our decisions that we're making up here could ultimately affect how all the things that are coming our way because of this, because this is just the first steps, and we are going to see multiple applications between use permits, tentative maps, design reviews, and possibly waivers on this master plan coming our way. So, you know, to say that we want to build a cohesive relationship with the developer, it's a hard thing to say, but I want us to have a voice, and I really don't feel like we have much of one today.
Yeah. Foley, can I ask you a question? Yes. You've been doing this a long time, and Foley, I appreciate all those meetings that you've been to, being on the board here. And I was just wondering, if this gets approved by this board here tonight, and we could put conditions if we approve it, and we deny it, we can't put any conditions on it. Would you have any conditions in mind?
Well, that's exactly what I was talking about. So the conditions that would be in mind would be no industrial zoning, and that is in the NOPA, no commercial tourism, that's in the NOPA. The commercial should really be scaled with the 2019 PFNA, but that sounds like that's already baked. And then I would really feel, and maybe it's just too general, that these, you know, these secondary, you know, commercial things that are driving traffic up the hill, but I don't know that we can really write that as a safe condition. So I think that the conditions that we, that were really, could be succinctly applied to this have already been addressed in the NOPA. So I don't think there are any additional conditions that we could add that have it. There's certainly other conditions that, I mean, that could be addressed. You know, there's not a lot of clarity around 159. In the agreement, it says that 159 traffic should be allowed for mining, construction, and emergency. But there's no limitations on the construction. What, how long, how many trucks, for what types of things? When you go and look back at the other agreements, it says that that construction should be for the creation of the road, and only for the creation of the road. But yet in the agreement, it's not clear. But those, there's others, many others, but they're not about zoning.
Yeah.
Right? So right. The only ones that are about zoning are the ones that I mentioned. They've already been addressed. I don't think there's any kind of conditions that we can move forward with a yes. So I think we should vote no.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I think I foresee this one. Can I get a show of hands of people who think that we should deny number one and number two? And can I get a show of hands of people who think that we should vote for number one and number two? One?
There's two.
There's two.
What's his
job?
I have you in here, Bob.
That's his job, right?
You do have a right
to. Oh, great, thank you for that.
Do you want to put forth the motion, Mr. Evan?
Okay. Well, as far as anything I would have to say about it is, you know, I support property rights, so I'm not allowed to support this, and I sort of that it is what it is. I think it's going to be a pretty intense thing. I sort of think it's inevitable. So, you know, regardless of how we vote for approval or denial here. Does anyone care to make a motion at this time?
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. One more question.
That's all right.
Yeah, no problem. Quick question, everyone. From what I've read, is the genotypes bill from 2003, the signal, supposedly that was a taking of the land?
All I know is that it was struck down as unconstitutional.
Right.
And I believe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Right, SB 358. And so, just so everybody knows, with the county lawsuit, and maybe going in the wrong spot here, but what happened there? Like in other words, I kind of remember in, I think it was 2010, 2011, and when Christie was on there, and they said that potential lawsuit and everything, and they said that if the county lost the lawsuit, that it could be the project, the developer, could do whatever he wants. Instead of being 5,000 houses at that time, it could have been a lot more if they lost the lawsuit. So somewhere along the line, it seems to me, and I will give both sides credit here, it seems that both the county and Gypsum Resources work together to come out to 3,500 homes. For most people, that's 3,500 too many. I realize that. But there were some good things that came out of that. And it's, you know, it's two bulls butting heads. And so somewhere along the line, there has to be some kind of middle ground. And what it is, we'll soon find out.
So Bob, I think you confused myself and everybody else a little bit by grouping both of these topics that we're voting on. I feel the changing to a major project doesn't give them the green light. it doesn't change the zoning. It is two separate things. We can change, you can approve one without the other. They are two separate.
And we'll be voting on them separately.
Exactly, but the show of hands was one engine. It really is, it's two separate issues. I'm also an advocate of property rights. I want to protect my property and my rights. You know, and we can all agree that you have your property, your neighbor builds a 35-foot building that blocks your view of red line. You don't like it, but it's within his rights to do that. And if you don't like it, you can buy it. But that's his rights, and you have your rights. Jim Rose bought that land up there, he owns it, it's a lot of money and effort into it. And what he does up there, we have some say on that. And to me, the only say we have is on the zoning change right now. I'd rather see 1,000 homes up there than 3,500.
Well,
if
we're zoned for 1,200.
Yeah. It's
zoned for 1,200. Yeah.
Well, it's 2,000 acres in our view.
This way is 2,400 acres over our view.
Well, what again, they say it's...
well, that's 1,200 acres.
Okay, so 2,400 homes can do the other than...
No, 1,200.
1,200 would be way better than 3,500. Okay? And I know that's a big financial burden on them to sell that and the price of the day, but it would be more large scale. So, that's...
Hey, Megan, can we vote on, can we do a motion individually on the items?
Yes, we are.
Absolutely.
We are
okay, all right.
I'd like to move to deny item one on the agenda.
Anybody else on that? Anybody want to vote on that?
What did you say, Greg?
Move to deny.
He's putting forth a motion to deny the plan amendment 2470013.
And that still leaves a vote on two.
Yes, it still leaves a vote on two.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we have a motion. We have votes on this motion.
So all in favor?
All in favor of denying.
To deny.
Yeah. So,
all in favor to deny.
All in favor of
deny.
Deny.
Three and opposed.
And opposed.
Opposed.
So, all opposed, but we already have a quorum there, so.
That's okay.
I still defer.
Yeah, I opposed. Dallas, what's your vote, Dallas?
He opposed the denial.
Okay. I opposed the denial.
So that's 3-2. That passes the denial 3-2.
Thank you. Okay, does anybody want to make a motion on the second item?
I'm gonna hand it to you.
I move to deny item number 2, ZZ240294 for Gibson Resources for the zone change.
Deny.
Your
all in favor of denial.
All in favor of denial.
Yep.
In favor of denial.
Okay. I'll vote in favor of denial.
All right. So that approves the denial.
Right. Sorry about that.
Thank you. If I may just mention one thing about Monday. So I'm not going to be here on Monday. I have to kind of take my daughter to college. I'm just going to Tennessee. So I'll be back here Tuesday and Wednesday for the hearings. But I know there's a neighborhood meeting. I'm going to have one of my partners out here on Monday to handle the neighborhood meeting. But since we ended much earlier than I thought, I told my wife I was going to be home by midnight. So I can stay and ask. Answer any questions that people have leading up to the hearing on Wednesday, maybe. So I just want to let that out because on Monday night, so you're not disappointed, this is the presentation that you're getting is the plan amendment and zone change. So if you have specific questions, it's probably better to talk to me afterwards so I can give you that information, okay?
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, so items 3, 4, and 5 are going to go until next month. We don't have any general business. We have a period of comments by the general public about matters relevant to the council's jurisdiction. and no vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the appropriate agenda. Comments will be 3 minutes, step up for podium, microphone, and state name and address, spell your last name, etc. Anybody have any further comments here?
Thanks everybody for showing up.
Really good.
Thank you.
Thank you everybody for coming to this meeting. Next meeting date is July 31st, 2024, and I hereby adjourn this meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a lot of that.
That was fantastic.